Good afternoon to you and welcome to Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid, the parenting podcast from the Irish Man Abroad podcast network. Tina, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, Derek. I'm doing okay.
Are you exhausted?
Yeah, I think you could call it that. We've had a mad few days, unfortunately.
That's the connecting thread between all parents.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of if your kids are big or small, you're going to be tired.
Yeah, and when they get sick, you're back to them being babies again, aren't you?
Yeah, we had a proper weekend of it. I was touring through Manchester, Sheffield and Glasgow.
Mm-hmm.
Tina came out to join me on the Sunday in Glasgow, assuming that Mikey was over whatever dose he has.
Yeah, very strange symptoms this week. So I didn't go with you because I was like, I got to keep an eye on him. And I actually joined you on Saturday. He seemed better. So I was like, okay. And then I was like, if he gets worse, just ring me and I'll get the late night flight home, which now I wish I'd done. But he seemed fine. We got home yesterday. He seemed fine. Yeah. And he just went downhill so fast.
Is there anything more terrifying than when that happens? I'm sure parents listen to this know exactly what it feels like when you're like, they were fine a minute ago and now this.
Absolutely. And then we ended up in A&E with him because we brought him to the VHI clinic and they were like, it's appendicitis. And I was like, oh God, my poor baby has appendicitis. And
thank God it wasn't. Spoiler alert there.
Yeah, it's rumbling appendicitis. So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I wasn't listening. I was on my phone.
Yeah.
I was playing Angry Birds during all this.
Rumbling appendicitis can go on for ages. Like, it just means it's not ready. They're not happy to take it out yet.
Right, right.
So,
jeez, I only found that out now.
But
you do see mad shit. We always say this. Everywhere you go, you see mad shit. I want people to email in the mad shit they've seen.
Well, we saw some mad cute shit.
Mad cute.
Yeah, but some mad heartbreaking
stuff. Just straight up mad.
But like, I also felt really judged yesterday at the hospital. I know doctors don't mean to, but she asked Mikey a question about, and did you have this pain yesterday? And I was like, no, he didn't. It just happened today. And then he said, no, mommy, I did. I had it during the day and at nighttime. And then I had to say, I was actually away yesterday.
I was actually out on the pit yesterday, so.
When the doctor, like, I couldn't say, I was working at my husband's show. The doctor looked at me like,
unbelievable.
What kind of a mother are you? Look at the state of your child right now. I was just like, oh God,
I feel
terrible.
By the looks of things, I would say they see an awful lot worse, Dina, now, to be honest. There was some mad stuff going down in the waiting room.
Very entertaining.
An awful lot of sports injuries.
Oh my God.
With footballers.
It would make you never let your child do GA.
Yeah.
There were so many kids on stretchers.
Yeah.
With their heads in neck braces and stuff. I was like, oh my goodness. And then there was a little tiny kid who was full of sass.
Oh my God.
And he was calling his mother.
Freckle.
Yeah, he kept pretending he was going to call her motherfucker. And he'd go, yeah, mother Reggle. And I was like, oh my God, he's such a pup.
You missed it when you guys went in because there's obviously one parent only in the examination.
Yeah.
It just got out of hand.
Like, really?
He just went up to the ceiling and no one was kind of calming him down and being a grown up.
I know. Well, his mom, yeah.
I'm not making any judgments on his mom because I don't know what she's dealing with.
No, but it's.
But he got so amped up by the scenario and everybody in the waiting room thought he was great.
Yeah.
He was a celebrity.
He was a celeb. That's for sure. He was cute. He was actually helping all the other children. His mom was just very young. And she was amazing with him. Like, she adored him, but she was amping him up too. And
I just thought it was all him.
Yeah.
I just thought that's who he was. I wondered if that's why he's in here. He's just too hyper.
Oh, look, those nurses in Temple Street are amazing. They were so kind to us. And
yeah, shout out to all the people there who don't have time to listen to podcasts.
And also the people in VHI Clinic yesterday, they couldn't have been nicer to us. They were like, does he have a temperature? I was like, no. And then they checked his temperature and they were like, that's really high. Quick, get him into the room. I was like, I'm the worst mom ever. But I had checked his temperature and it was fine.
But this would be heartening for people to hear. To a podcast where you dole out advice. Yesterday, you felt like a shite mom.
Oh my God, the worst mother ever.
I mean, that's part of being a good mom, is accepting that you've made a mistake or you've missed something and moving on.
But I was really doing that thing you do all the time, where I was beating myself up last night. I was like, you shouldn't have gone to Glasgow. He was like, but you checked him. He was fine. He seemed good. I was like, I shouldn't have gone. I'm such a bad mother. Oh,
the best thing you did yesterday was you followed your gut.
Yeah.
And you went, get in the car. We're going.
Yeah, I thought, we got to get this guy to a doctor.
You were just like, we got to go.
And poor Gerald was so tired.
Too many times, as people have heard across the podcast over the years, you didn't follow it and always lived to regret it. And certainly we've had times early in his life when, you know, people were telling you otherwise and you were like, my gut's telling me something else. So if the show starts with anything,
yeah,
follow your gut.
Also, that was a weird moment for us yesterday because we obviously had one of the times we were at A&E together there was when Mikey was brought in to be resuscitated.
Mm.
And
it all comes flooding back.
Oh my God, it all came flooding back. But you know what? It was really, was that word cathartic? Was
cathartic?
Cathartic for me because it didn't cry. It didn't scare me anymore.
Mm.
And even though he wasn't feeling well yesterday, I was like, my boy is so strong. Mm. Like, that's not the same baby.
He's a beast.
He is so strong.
Yeah. Half the problem here, I believe, is that he's growing too fast.
Yeah, I think he's growing too fast.
And that his immune system is a bit low. As a result, we have got some great questions for you this week.
I am a bit traumatized. I'm totally cool about everything that just happened in the last 48 hours. Maybe I am a bit wrong there.
We've got a great question here that relates to kids trying to be too involved in what the discussions are in the home. Like, just like overstepping the mark. How do you get your kid to observe? That's a grown-up conversation. Hold it down over there.
Well, it's getting harder and harder, isn't it?
It is. And then children fighting. I said this last week, kids knocking the shite out of each other. How do you stop that? Stay tuned to hear the rest of this. We've also got a big chunk of extra stuff over on patreon.com/Irishmanabroad. Every single week, there's a big load of stuff over there and you can get access to all our old episodes. But let's get to it. Maybe panic is the through line between our episode today, because that panic of, oh shit, there's something wrong, we've got to get him to the hospital.
Yeah.
There's nothing quite like it. I was in Glasgow doing the show, Your Man, the tour show that I'm doing, the stand-up show that I'm bringing all over the world now. And I was reminded of a time I was there when a woman rocked back in her chair laughing. And I mean, we have had somebody fall out of their chair laughing on this tour.
Yeah, that happened in Wexford.
Yeah, it burst herself backwards off the chair, which is just such, like, next to pissing themselves, that's as good as it gets.
It's a great compliment
it's
for
great.
You.
I was
it's,
like, thank
it's
you
awful for
so
them.
Much.
For them,
hope your back's okay, but that is
ruined.
A 5-star review. So many moons ago at Glasgow Stand, the comedy club that I love so much in Glasgow, a woman rocked back and she had a big head of hair on her and dipped it into a candle behind her.
Jesus Christ.
Her whole head of hair went up in flames.
It goes so fast.
And I don't know if people remember the terrorist attack at Glasgow Airport where a guy got out of his taxi and just burst a guy a punch in the head and saved the airport. I think that guy was at the gig because this person dove across three rows and just started slapping this woman's head to put out the fire.
Wow. To be that kind of person who reacts.
Unbelievable.
Amazing.
I was like, you're a hero. This guy's a hero. And I was like, that's an amazing response. Like, her hair was on fire. Who knows what could happen? He goes, why? Her hair was on fire.
That's brilliant.
No, honestly, it happened.
Best.
That happened.
Yeah.
And what's even weirder is I was expected to continue with the set.
Oh my God.
We didn't go, and that's our show for tonight.
And did she continue to
just sit? She continued sitting there. That's Glasgow.
Wow.
That's why I love it.
Because you know, when I used to work in a behaviour unit like 20 years ago, one of our clients, we were doing her birthday and she had a habit of tilting her hair forward.
No.
And she did the same thing. She tilted her hair forward. Her hair went up in flames so fast. And you can guess how well I reacted to that. I don't respond well in a panic situation. I ran around the house shouting, her hair is on fire.
Which is helpful. Somebody has to raise the
Luckily,
alarm.
Luckily, there were two other behavioural specialists with me who got the hair to not be on fire anymore.
If nobody raises the alarm, how would anybody know, Tina? When Mikey fell out of his high chair and said he's after falling out of his high chair and he was face down on the ground.
I couldn't even look at him. I was like,
well, should we pick him up?
I was like,
your mother was choking in the kitchen.
Okay, Jerry, you're really going
ran
down on me here.
The kitchen going, she's choking. I was glad you had your first aid training.
I have done first aid training so many times. And in the last school I was in, I was the first responder. First responder. I was like, this is such a bad idea.
The worst responder. So maybe we should start with the beating the heads off question, because this is definitely one that could lead to actual physical harm.
Oh, yeah. Sure, there was a load of siblings in yesterday, and the reason they were there, they'd gone too far, hurt each other.
Morning, Jarlath and Tina. How are other parents coping with their children fighting? I'm going to go insane if I have to break up one more fight or listen to each side explain themselves. For context, they are 8 and 10. Boys, of course.
Mm.
They're pretty opposite when it comes to a lot of things. But if they are ever playing together, it always descends into a full-on fight. Or extreme name-calling. Poo in a shoe? Not quite. I mean, 8 and 10, they've got the vocab.
Yeah, they've got the vocab down.
I really don't know what to do. Independent of each other, they're great kids.
Oh, no.
Together, they're chalk and cheese. Natina,
that is so tricky.
Dying to hear what you say to this, because I think this is such a common problem.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that got on like a house on fire with their siblings as kids.
And we know what happens. If you don't get on top of that now, it doesn't go away. Unless you're lucky, they grow up and they're still chalk and cheese and they're still not getting on. It doesn't right itself. You actually have to put the work in here. And it's really, really hard because they're 10 and 8 and they've already decided and maybe been told a few times that they're very different. You know, all that goes in to cement their idea that we're not alike. We don't get on. We've nothing in common. Everyone's forever telling us we're different. And our language, like we all do it as parents, we say way too much in front of our kids. And it goes in and they take on that role, you know.
Such as? What do you mean?
You know, they take on the role of, I don't get on with my brother.
Oh,
you know?
Right. You two don't get on.
You two don't get on. You two never, you can't leave you two together. It all goes in and makes them think, well, you can't. Like, that's the expectation, isn't it?
Yeah, God, like you've raised it, before we get to it, you've raised a big one there.
Mm.
Because you as a parent are probably talking about people you don't get on with.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is just an unfortunate mistake we all make. And it's a very hard one to correct. Because you just, you know, you're in your house. You're a bit looser.
Yeah, you're chatting.
You know, chatting away. And your kids, they hear a lot. They hear everything. But
haven't we reached a new phase in culture and society where people are much more inclined to go, we're never going to be friends. We're not going to see eye to eye. I'm just going to stay in my bunker and you stay in yours.
Yeah, I think it's quite frightening. That is being kind of
polarization.
Yeah, and it's kind of celebrity led, I think.
You reckon?
A bit. You see it a lot in, like, if you ever, I don't know, it's hard to avoid celebrity news, but like people who aren't talking to each other ever again.
Oh, yeah, so that's a big one.
Yeah, it's like, you know,
dueling.
And also, we've talked about this before, people who go and get help, which is amazing, and then don't really understand what their therapist means when they say you need to draw up boundaries.
Yeah, and protect yourself.
And go way too far and just cut people out of their life.
Yeah.
Which is not what they mean you to do. I mean, obviously, if that's all you can do to help yourself.
Yeah.
But they don't mean you to start with that, you know?
Yeah.
They just mean you to, like, get better at protecting yourself and knowing what your limits are.
My aunt, Stephanie Regan,
makes
a great podcast. Mm-hmm. And this is an issue that comes up a lot there. And what I love about her advice on it is avoid the last thing you want is for there to be no communication at all.
Yes.
But she's all about trying to maintain a respectful a relationship where you can still talk and that you don't lose contact.
Yeah, because you can't realistically, especially in bloody Ireland, you can't cut ties realistically.
Nope.
So it's really tricky that way. But I know what this mum has to do. And this will work if she's willing to put in the work. I'm really worried for you because there's something stuck in Jarlath's teeth and it's really annoying him.
Those things where it looks like I've got my tongue in my cheek and it looks like I'm really angry with Tina while I'm
the whole time
fiddling on. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Is that what you think? Yeah? You know what this mom should do.
Yeah, it's very off-putting because I'm like, maybe I don't know. Maybe. But, you know, 8 and 10, fantastic ages. You can absolutely talk to these children and reason with them. And you can also get them to share. So I come back to the thing I always say, which, you know, we all forget to do enough, especially us. Get the monthly family meetings started in your house. The first one has to be fun. The next few can be very serious. You got to lull them in first. Yeah. Make them think this is a great family
first
activity.
First one's a get-together. The next one's a tribunal.
Yeah, exactly. The first one's all like, you know, I'm going to listen to everything you say. The next one you're a little bit stricter about. Cut the crap.
Yeah, and then you can throw one in, which is, where are we going to go on a holiday?
Exactly. Don't make them all about behaviours. Mm. Exactly. That's a really good point, Jar. And you just sit...
to lie to myself. Go ahead.
You sit them down and make it very cozy. Have the snacks out that they love. Give them an opportunity to talk and tell them how the behaviour is affecting the house. How much it's worrying you. And what do they think they could do or changes could be made within the house that would help them to get on better? What are they finding the hardest? Where does the hurt come from? Like, what is it that is upsetting and annoying you? And just leave it free space. Like, things are going to get said and you can't correct them in this moment because you need them to just let it out. And also you're going to have to tell them at the end that, okay, I'm glad you shared all this stuff. Obviously, this is not okay. You can't be battering the heads off each other. And there's going, like...
Or just arguing.
Yeah, or just arguing. And we've talked about it now. So now I can fully see you comprehend what you're doing. You understand your actions. And going forward, there are going to be consequences for them. You guys are going to have to figure out a way of getting on during your games. Because otherwise, I will come in with a warning and I will let you know, okay, this is starting to get out of control. I can see that there's an argument on the horizon. If you guys get into an argument, this is the consequence. And you line it out. And it doesn't have to be anything very, very negative because this isn't actually bad behavior. It's just that they're clashing. But just something that's enough for them to be like, oh, let's just avoid that argument, you know?
Okay, right. The, all brilliant stuff.
Well,
in with the warning.
Yeah. Yeah, always
explain
fairness.
To them what's coming should you not be able to get on in this way. Family meeting that starts out with a get-together.
Yeah.
And the next one is more
trickery.
Of a court case.
Yeah.
I want to throw this in here because rarely are both parties as guilty as each other.
That is true. And also, it's hard for them because when they get to those vibes, rationality is out the window. That's why the warning can just click them out of it. But yeah, you're right. Like, the parents have a job to do here too. And it's really hard if you've got more than one or two kids. You have got to be impartial.
Right.
And you've got to step back and just allow yourself to be an observer. You have, whether you like it or not, things you like about your children that you don't like in the other kids. You know, things one kid does really annoys you, whereas the other kid could do it all day and it wouldn't even get under your skin. So you have to try and be impartial. You have to watch and see, well, who is the prodder? Who is doing this? And then you can't walk away going, oh, I haven't figured it out, because that could have just been that day. You just have to take moments. I said this before. Take moments in your day where you stand back and you just look and watch and observe your children. You will learn so much about them in those moments.
Who's the prodder? Who's the prod?
Who's the prodder and who's the proddy?
Like,
are you allowed to say
that? I was a niggle merchant.
Oh yeah, you little devil.
Well, I loved getting a rise.
I
definitely knew how to wind people up.
Christ,
but like, this is very confessional of me, and if my sisters ever listen to this, they'll go, oh yeah, he was. Like, one of their stories of me as a kid was that my dad would come home from the races and go, give me a rub on the head and go, he's a great little lad, isn't he? And they'd be looking at me with their arms folded going, he's a little fucker. You have no idea what babysitting him was like. I'm like,
hey, Dad, I'm great.
And that, like you said, you've really hit on something big there. There's probably a whole nother episode. It's bias.
Yeah.
You've got to recognize your bias.
Yeah.
you're usually more biased to the younger kid.
And also, you might have accidentally put them in a box that they don't belong in, because your kid is forever changing. And you can't ever decide you know your child, because you don't. You know them that day. Tomorrow, you know, they're allowed growing. To be someone else. Yeah. And like, you hear parents do it all the time, like say, oh, he's the hyper one. You know, don't label them. It's really tricky because they find it very hard to escape those labels.
I love to hear from other parents if they've come through this. Have they got out the other side? Because in the end, it's not going to be, and then we were happy families.
No.
What you've provided here is a method to go, and then some semblance of détente can be reached.
Yeah, well, what you're hoping for here is that with the family meetings and the exercising and talking and sharing their feelings, what will actually happen is the fisty cuffs, how do you say it?
Yep.
Won't happen. They'll actually talk to each other. They'll say, you're starting to annoy me. Please stop. If you don't stop, I'm going to leave the game. Sometimes we have to remind our children, like, you can't walk away.
Mm, yeah.
They don't know a lot of stuff.
And you know what? It's also about their future.
Yeah.
And what abuse they'll accept.
Yeah. You can get up and walk away.
I don't consent to being part of a game where I'm treated like this.
Yeah. And also always coming in with the warning. Always coming in with the warning teaches your children to know how to do that. In other situations, to say, okay, I don't like what's happening here. If this keeps going, I'm out.
Before we go to our next question about kids getting too involved in conversations that aren't about them, is there anything to be said for getting a punch bag in the house?
Punch bag in the house?
Yeah.
I had a punch bag
Something
as a kid.
Something to vent the frustration.
Depends on the child, but yeah, I don't think there's any harm. I had a punch bag as a kid. Definitely used it a lot.
Definitely. And did you have gloves?
Yeah. You know
did
that
did it help?
Yeah.
You know that
my dad had us boxing and in karate from a very young age.
Yeah, I did know that.
I
so
don't
I
know
was what... asking it to see
yeah,
would
but,
you tell people about it?
I'm
you know the way? Because
I've been up since five. But I was trying to think there, did that help me though? Because I was very
You're all amped up after it.
For a lot of my younger years
so
as a girl.
So when I went to Mosney Holiday Centre, right, there was a beautiful girl in the pool when I was 11 years old. And my friend and I were doing my classic winding people up.
Oh my God, Jared.
Splashing and dunking each other. Because she was one of those girls, young teenage girls, who was like, everybody be careful, you can get hurt in the pool.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, she was so beautiful that we were like, we need to get her attention in any way, shape or form. It seems she is a health and safety freak. Let's go over and do real dangerous stuff.
Oh my God.
Until she grabs us and shakes us and looks us in the eyes.
Like, yeah, that's
a total example of kids needing attention.
Yeah.
And sure enough, Mackle dunks me under the water. Shout out to John Mackle. He's now a lawyer in Belfast. He dunks me under the water. And I can remember her bikini clad body, like, what the fuck is she doing wearing a bikini in Mosney?
Was this a dream?
Grabbing me from under the water, going, are you okay? And I'm like, I think I am. And my memory of this girl is that she looked very like you.
Really? Like that, that's very nice.
That was my memory of her. And I remember when we first started dating going, you weren't Ed Mosney. Tina, like, just describes herself as a kid being super aggressive with any boy that would attempt to get the shift.
Me. Yeah.
A swift punch to the nuts and go, don't mess with me.
Yes.
That's now her policy with children.
Oh, I have no idea why I was so opposed to boys.
To having the shift.
Well, I was just, I don't know what it was. I think I was worried I'd let my family down or some shame would be upon me.
Shame, of course. Good old shame.
Yeah, but yeah, anyone ever asked me out, they got a box in the stomach.
And you did want to kiss boys.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yes, I did want to kiss the boys.
But the punch bag in the back garden.
You know, my move was to knee them in the groin, and I was aware that when you do that, the head goes forward, so it always to have my elbow ready to get... Isn't that awful?
Lovely stuff. Coming straight out of you giving advice to people on how not to have their kids fight. You were the worst.
I was terrible.
Hi, Tina and Charlotte. I have an 11-year-old boy who involves himself in everyone's conversations. It used to be mine and his sister's, but now it's everyone who is around him. So he's a busybody. He's like, I'll tell you what. Do you know what?
It sounds very so cute. Funny.
I'd say it stops being cute pretty quick. But now it's everyone around him. If he has anything to do, if it has anything to do with him or not, myself and my partner try to explain to him daily not to do this, but it's not working. Other close friends, adults, have also tried. So they did the whole...
Yeah, because I was actually thinking, you know, another grown-up will go, stop this. What age is he?
11.
Oh, wow, he's proper old. Yeah. So it's not... He's probably been doing it for ages and now it's not cute.
Yeah.
That happens to so many kids.
That's about a tiny moment. How many times do you see a kid doing something where everyone's so cute?
I know.
And then you've often said to me that, like, when's the turn? When's the shoe going to drop?
I know. And I bet it's so annoying for you to be around me because I'm like, oh, yeah, they're not going to find that cute in 2 years. And then the poor child is so confused because they're like, you used to love this.
Yeah.
You have totally yes-anded behavior. And now you're like, I don't like that behavior anymore.
It's usually when a new kid arrives, right?
Or when they just lose their cutie pudgy cheeks.
Yeah, it's tough because they feel betrayed.
Yeah, they're so confused.
At a loss.
They're like, why is it not okay now?
So they probably did think, I wonder, is this true of this mother? That they were like, the guess is like, he's got an opinion on what we should do with the car.
You would find it cute when they're small because you're so proud of them talking. Yeah.
And also, what the fuck do they know?
Yeah. We are guessing though, but 11 is a bit old to be doing that. He should know better. He should know better. And
but like, what is it? A boundary issue? Is that it? Or is he like, is he just a talkative lad?
Yeah. He's like, I guess they just need to talk to him about what's private. You know, I wouldn't discourage him from talking to people and asking questions, but I would just say, you know, if you're going to keep doing this, there's certain things you can't comment
on. Yeah, but I know what this looks like. Like, this looks like... So anyway, I was saying to your one... You know what you should say?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Two outsiders, it must be brilliant.
Yeah.
I'd have told them to.
It must be a bit bad if they, even her friends are going, now, could you stop asking me things?
Well, like, here's the other question is, what conversations are you having in front of them that you don't want them involved in? Like... with one child, this is a problem.
Yeah, you're terrible at this.
I am the worst.
I have to be like, Charlotte, I have to actually say your name with my teacher voice because I'm like, dude.
Because actually having a discussion in front of them when it's only one child makes them part of it.
And they feel immense power.
Immense power, and they feel like an equal stakeholder.
Yeah.
The amount of times we have to go, we will decide. Thank you.
And I'm looking at you like, you involved him.
Yeah. Why did you start this conversation?
I'm sorry for laughing so much.
But it is true that maybe look at, well, what conversations are you having in front of
him? Yes, absolutely. But I really think just talking to him about how, you know, you don't want to say it's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. He's a super social child. Like, a lot of people are struggling to get their kids to talk to people. I would just go through him with him. You know, there's certain things we just can't talk about. There's private things and people might not be comfortable. And not everyone is like you. You know, you have this special skill that when you grow up might come in useful for, you know, sales or being a lawyer, being a teacher. But right now, there's other kids who don't like sharing and there's other adults who don't like sharing. So we have to be careful not to impose ourselves.
Well, is it imposing himself or is it an inflated sense of himself?
Like, I don't know.
Is it
a high
opinion of his own opinion?
Maybe he's just super empathetic.
Well, I guess we don't know what he's saying, right?
Yeah. We just know it's annoying the mom.
But, like, definitely, I think we've all seen kids who think that everybody should be listening to them all the time.
Yeah, we have. And but I do think we take for granted that sometimes you just have to explain to your child why what they're doing isn't appropriate. And how can we do, we don't want you to stop being inquisitive, but we'd like you to be a bit more mindful and reflective.
Yeah, well, I think you did that a while ago where you were like, okay, if you want to come to me with something, we have that chat afterwards.
Yeah.
And kind of make that special.
Also, if you, you know, it's a two-way street here, because you also have to get into the habit of, if you need to talk to him about something, bring him to another room. Introduce the idea of privacy. We need to go somewhere private because we need to talk, you know, so that he feels respected with his voice as well, you know, things like that. What are you laughing at?
I think it's such a funny email.
I love it. I don't know if we were very helpful there, but I do think it's just educating him.
Like 90% of your advice is born out of the simplest stuff that works.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard when you're in this maelstrom of parenting to go, actually, yeah, maybe I just need to remind him of, you know, you and I can have our chat together, but I'm now speaking to someone.
And I'd be
else.
Interested to know what he's like at school, because a lot of the time when kids are this vocal at home, they're not vocal at school.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think he doesn't feel listened to and that's why he keeps...
I would think that perhaps there's a chance at school he is quiet as a mouse, afraid, and he's saving it all up.
And then the parent tells you, well, he never shuts up at all.
Yes, absolutely. And it's just not feeling comfortable in other environments.
So you get the teacher involved.
I just go and ask the teacher and say, you know, how do you find him in class? Is he disruptive?
But, like, do you think it's happening in class?
I don't.
That everybody is... You see, you're saying he could be quiet as a mouse. I'm saying, is it possible that in school everybody's allowed pipe up and the teacher's like, come on, everybody get involved.
Oh, that can also be a thing. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And now he's at home. He's like, well, we do this in school all the time.
Yeah. And then that's a chance for the mom to say again what I said, that everyone's so different. And if your teacher's allowing that kind of conversation in the class, fair enough. But we can't be doing that at home. Like, children have to be... get used to generalizing different places, different situations.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Compartmentalizing the rules for different places.
Yeah, that's really important for kids. Mm. You know, I'm really worried about your two.
I'm still struggling to do that right now. You're going to absolutely love this final question.
Okay.
It's from a parent who has locked themselves into a promise to their kid that they cannot keep.
Oh, no.
Hey, Jarantina, I promised my son at the start of the school year that if he tried really hard and got good grades, I would get him an Xbox at the end of the year. I had no idea that this would be the leverage he needed. He has turned around his academics to a point where I cannot argue. He deserves the Xbox. The only problem being... I cannot afford to get him the Xbox. I don't know what to do, and I'd love some advice as to how to punch my way out of this corner. That is a toughie.
Oh, I feel so bad for them.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, who can afford an Xbox to start with?
No, nobody.
Fucking ridiculous.
They're awful.
Super Nintendo, maybe if you go back to 1996... and index link what that console cost, it still wouldn't be the hundreds that this thing is. It's before, like, you've even bought a game.
It's like €800 or something.
I mean, obviously she knows this now. You never should have promised something so big.
Oh, I know. This, like, is terrible.
It's very tough. Because
he lived up to the bargain.
First, he's done it.
He did it. Well, you know what's amazing here is she unlocked his potential.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no going back now. She's changed his behavior pattern.
We did talk about this earlier in the season. You know, I felt I was definitely motivated that way.
Mm.
If I had that eye on the prize, I would have worked harder in school.
This is
having seen my report card, Tina, we did that episode.
That was shocking.
Where it was obvious I couldn't have, I didn't care.
You didn't care at all. It was so obvious. And but also, I felt like you were a little bit failed by your teachers. Like, you're so clever. How did they not push you? Oh, did they? Oh, okay.
They try. Ah, look. No, I thought I was going to play in the NBA.
So you were delusional.
There's no talking to me. This kid sounds like an amazing kid.
Yeah.
I have a couple of options, right? For starters, there are certain places that will let you pay in installments for something like that.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
And I feel bad though, because it's still a huge commitment.
That's still giving him the Xbox, right?
It's like buying a car.
It is an obscene amount of money.
Could she write to Xbox and say what happened? You never know. They can be nice.
There is that option. There is that option. Is there an option, Tina? And this is what I wanted to ask you. When I got this email, I was like, this one came to irishmanabroadpodcast@gmail.com, not honeyyou'reruiningourkid@gmail.com. Whereas most of the emails come into, is there a way to not give him it?
Look, she can absolutely tell him that she's so in awe of his work ethic. She can't believe he's done this. She's so proud. And she can say that, I didn't think you could. So when I made that offer, I wanted to motivate you, but I had no idea how amazing, how high you could fly. Like, she can make it into
Michael
a positive. Yeah, she can make it a positive. She can be like, I had no idea. I'm so proud of you. You have blown me away. You have underestimated you, and I will never do that again.
Well, I think, let me jump in there. I would imagine that would be great if she hadn't seen him throughout the year. No doubt he was going one step closer. And she's like, oh,
yeah,
God.
I know. But you can say, like, I'm going to get you the Xbox. I'm just saving for it. It's a lot of money. And I definitely think you deserve it. But it's going to take me
some
time. Do you
think there's no way out?
I don't think you can promise something like that in Subway. Yeah. I mean, can she get him, like, a secondhand Xbox? Or can you rent an Xbox for a while?
Secondhand?
I don't know.
Actually, Kex would be the place to find one that
isn't
new in box.
Yeah.
At a lower price. There's always the eBay option, but we're literally giving consumer advice now.
Yeah.
But, like, that is the question. The broader question here is, if you promise your child something on a condition.
Yeah. If they live up to it, you've got to find a way to follow it through. Yeah.
You do owe it to them.
Yeah.
But it is a lesson in.
Oh, that's what
everyone
was saying. Don't go too big.
Don't go too big. Don't go too big on the threat either.
The
amount of times people have not been allowed to watch Game of Thrones that night. The new episode is out.
Oh, the holidays been cancelled and Christmas isn't happening anymore.
Ed Byrne used to do a brilliant joke that whenever he had an argument with his wife, he had to make sure to slam the door and leave the room to a room where there was a TV.
That's
so good.
What an insight into his brain.
I know.
No intention of going back to try and sort it out.
Hey, did you ever have a deal like this with your folks? That if you did this, you'd get this?
No, I was spoiled rotten.
No,
I never had to work for anything.
Yeah. Whereas I was just told, keep dreaming.
I never even had to ask. Stuff was just there. And I think I was appreciative. I hope I was. But I never had to. But I always wanted to do them proud. So that was in me anyway.
You did ask, though. You wanted Lord Huggington or whatever it was.
Dozy?
No.
What?
Remember the Teddy Ruxkin?
I wanted Teddy Ruxkin. I never got Teddy Ruxkin. I got Dozy, who I still
love. Who you preferred?
I made myself.
Dozy spoke as well.
Yep, I made myself love Dozy.
Teddy Ruxkin was a hard bear to find.
Geraldine got him. My sister.
Oh, so they mixed up the presents. Do you think they wrapped the wrong one?
No, she got him the year later. She ripped his nose off and I kept him in my cupboard then. I keep an eye on him. I'd be like, I'm fine for you.
Here's the other thing. The Xbox could negatively impact these amazing grades.
Oh, it definitely will. It definitely, but she promised him it. It definitely will. I mean.
But does it come with a condition? That if your grades drop, it's got to go.
Well, look, we're living in a very scary time when it comes to these phones and games. I mean, honestly, do not know how children manage to do their homework.
Why don't we talk a bit more about that on Patreon? Because this whole area of gaming and
it's the
dad's
wild
gaming,
west.
It is the Wild West, and it's a massive, massive problem for loads and loads of parents. I'd love to get your thoughts on it, Tina, and how people might be able to just edge things back towards a little less focus on devices, especially as the summer kicks in. Mm-hmm. Guys, thank you so much for listening here on the free platforms. Please, please, please come over to patreon.com/Irishmanabroad. A couple of clicks, you're on board. And for a fiver a month, you get to hear the whole episode as well as this extra chunk each week. And hundreds of episodes with the greatest Irish people ever to have lived, including Sir Bob Geldof, Mary Robinson, Gabriel Byrne, Paul McGrath, Mick McCarthy, Sharon Horgan, Lisa Hannigan, you name them, they've been on the show. And the interviews are there for when you finally get an opportunity to have some time to yourself.
And can I say something? Even if you don't listen to any of those episodes, please do yourself a massive favor and listen to Jarlath's marathon episode he released last Monday. It is one of the most beautiful pieces of work I have ever heard. It is a journey. It's so inspiring. And I'm not... Did you just stop me?
No. I looked away because I can't listen to it.
I told Charlotte I'd just gone, I'm not recording that.
Yeah, I'm not listening to that. No.
It's incredible. I think it's... I know I'm your wife, but I think it's worthy of a prize.
Yeah.
It's so good. Sonia even said that. Sonia said it's amazing. I love it.
Well, I'm very proud of it. The marathon did not go to plan. We recorded the last episode and you guys... knew that it was recorded pre-marathon, and I was assuming out of my fist in the air and the time I wanted. Let's just say that didn't happen,
but a much
better thing occurred. It's all over there, patreon.com/Irishmanabroad. Thanks so much, Tina.
Thanks, Jarlath.